welcome to this episode of the award-winning Best of the Left podcast. This is a sample of our recent bonus episode, usually only available to members. These episodes are comprised of our crew of researchers, Amanda and myself, all getting together for a roundtable discussion on topics that we find interesting. So here's a few minutes for free so you can know what all the fuss is about. Another quick follow-up. I just made a note here. Because in a previous bonus show, we were trying to figure out what our age is called. What is the age we are living in? And then through further conversation, like I think I tried to zero in on like the way we've probably always been delusional about the stability of life in the past. And our current age is, I think I argued, sort of marked by how we are unable to be delusional anymore. So like life was never rock solid, consistent, something you could depend on, but we thought it was, and now it isn't. So I've coined the name of our age, and so I'm going to call it the age of disillusionment by dissolution of delusion.
Rolls right off the tongue.
It's a bit of a mouthful.
Yeah, I think it will catch on. Today, though, we do have new topics. We're obviously going to talk about the single thing that literally everyone wants to talk about nonstop, which is the Apple Vision Pro having been released into the wild and people using it and mostly doing stupid things with it. So for this conversation, I want to skip past all of what has already been said. I read approximately 24 articles about it, and I found 1.5 of them that were interesting. So I promise I think we may say something new and interesting that you haven't heard. The questions that we do not need answered are, does it work? Yes. Is it comfortable? Depends. Would it be useful to you personally? Definitely not. Is it useful to anyone? Maybe now, more likely in the future. But we just have to wait and see. And I kind of foresee a future of it being a bit like the Segway, where like it's a really cool thing that does what it does, but it's probably better for like a really special use case for like having a setup in a museum where you get to put it on and have that be part of the learning experience, but like part of everyday life is much more tenuous of an argument. But what we want to talk about, which is actually the interesting article I found, is from, what was it?
Business Insider.
Business Insider, thank you. The Apple Vision Pro is one giant experiment on the human brain. And they end up describing researchers who have been using virtual reality, augmented reality headsets for a while to sort of like figure out what it does to people to use them for extended periods. And what they have concluded tentatively, you know, in the early stages of their research is that it literally changes the a person's perception of reality in a variety of ways. So that could be like in the most literal way, like the way those headsets make the real world look is not quite exactly right. And so if you're using them while navigating the world, or even just navigating your own body, like eating something, you'll like bring your hand to your mouth and put it in the wrong place because it doesn't quite look where it's supposed to be. But because human brains are sort of magic, the brain will adjust, right? Same thing sort of happens metaphorically as well, because these headsets can like add things to the real world. They can subtract things from the real world. And so it gets very odd very quickly. Let's see. So from the article, it says their brains and muscles learned to compensate for their new view of the world. That seems like a solution, but it ain't. When people adapt to a perceptual change for long enough, the real world starts to look wrong in the opposite direction. long-term use of pass-through headsets could make it easier. Oh, sorry. And then the adding and subtracting, they gave interesting examples of like, what if you wanted to wear a headset and subtract things like unhoused people or pride flags because you don't want to look at them? Like, seems like a thing that would be possible. And then just sort of the way they describe the way people literally look in them is just like a little uncanny valley, a little not quite human. So they say long-term use of pass-through headsets could make it easier to think of other people as unhumans, non-player characters in a gamified uncanny valley. So has your pre-order arrived yet, Dion, or...
I'm actually wearing them right now. No one can tell, but the world is better now through the Apple Vision Pro.
Yeah. Oh, you're the next generation. Yeah.
Yeah. I was thinking about how normal like billboards are. Like billboards are ugly. Billboards are awful. I hate them. I've always thought they were terrible. And if somehow, some way, the Apple Vision Pro or something in the future could make billboards go away, like actually go away, not like you're wearing them and then you can just not see them, but like they pull them down so that billboards come up, you know, virtually. That would be the only possible positive thing I could think for it. Like as a normal day-to-day use case, like Jay was talking about, like if it was like an exhibit in a museum and you put them on temporarily, or like in this setting, you know, I'm wearing headphones right now. I'm not gonna wear headphones just walking around every day. These are great. When I listen to music, sounds better with these headphones than it does with some other things. So temporarily, but when you're using them so often that it's changing your brain, like we have to think, is this, do we want this? Like what positive use case could justify rewiring our brains?
Yeah.
I think that begs the question about what we mean by rewiring our brains. And I think that more topics we're going to be talking about today sort of get into that, and that rewiring versus not rewiring is more of a spectrum than we give it credit for. So it's not yes or no, do we want to rewire our brains? It's we are going to rewire our brains because that's actually how brains work. Like, everything we encounter, everything we experience is wiring the plasticity of our brains, right?
Yeah, we're incredibly adaptable.
We're super adaptable. And so it's just a matter of degrees. It's just how much are we willing to rewire our brain? And that's why it's such a dangerous question, because a lot of people are going to say like, yeah, a little bit, not too much, but what's too much? How are we going to know what's too much?
Yeah. And they did point out, you know, when they were doing these tests, it's extended use that obviously is the worst. So if you're only using it for a little bit, you're going to have some maybe adjustment, but not that lasts and lasts. And I think the creepiest thing was that they said the longer you wear it, basically the longer that adaptation that your brain has made will last and linger. And so they were describing somebody trying to press the button for an elevator and like miscalculating, even though they didn't have the headset on anymore, which probably hurts a little bit and is embarrassing.
But if that's the biggest problem we have, I guess we could live with it. I think they described people using it at work and then trying to make their way home, having, you know, something akin to like a psychedelic mushroom hangover or something.
Mushroom hangover. Yeah. The other thing about the deletion, like taking things out of your world that you don't want or putting things into your world that you would prefer, I just started to think about, we started having that conversation on just a lower level when we all switched to streaming, because what we were talking about is the lack of collective social experience. So we're not all watching the same five channels of TV and we're not all having the same experience. And so that started to break a little bit of our social cohesion, even though it was just in the entertainment side of things. And so I feel like what they're describing here is just the next giant leap from that. And they mentioned the sci-fi writer William Gibson, they say he came up with the concept of cyberspace, and he described it as a consensual hallucination. And I don't know, this writer said it's the opposite. I actually disagree. I think that's exactly what it is, but it's consensual and personalized hallucination. So you just all on your own, it's not like we're collectively having an hallucination together. We're just, you get your own little customized, personalized experience that no one else shares. And we experience this with our algorithms too, which we'll get into later, but our algorithms are customized just for us. So even if you live in the same house as someone else and spend all your time with that person, you're not going to see the same stuff in your news feeds as the other person you live with and spend all your time with. You know, like that is a huge change in our social fabric.
That's it for today's free sample. There's lots more of that particular episode, as well as there being dozens of past bonus episodes that you get access to in your feed the minute you sign up as a new member. Paying members are who make this entire show possible, and so these bonus episodes are a fun way to say thanks to them for their support. In addition to those full bonus episodes, members also get bonus clips in every single regular episode, as well as there being no ads in the regular show. If you would like to be our newest member, you can sign up at bestoftheleft.com/support. You can use our Patreon page, or you can do it from right inside the Apple Podcast app, and links to get there are right in our show notes. And if you can't afford membership, I offer free financial hardship memberships. Just drop me an email to j@bestoftheleft.com and we will get you set up, no questions asked. Or again, to sign up and support the show and our ability to give away free financial hardship memberships, visit us at bestoftheleft.com/support. Thanks for listening.